As we near the end of the holiday season, we have all given and received gifts. But I've been thinking about the topic of re-gifting. Re-gifting for me is not a process of giving something to someone else that I have received that I don't like. When I re-gift something, it's a gift that I have received and I cherish it to some degree. Re-gifting has gotten a bum rap. Some consider it cheap or insensitive. However, regifting doesn't have to have a bad connotation. Most of us have been gifted fruitcakes, those chia pets shaped like Richard Simmons' head, and those big tins of popcorn. Part of the problem with giving Christmas gifts is a lot of adults, maybe most of us, already have everything we need, at least the stuff we need. So we wind up giving and receiving things that we don't need, and that can lead to regifting. These, however, are not the type of gifts I'm talking about. I'd like to draw your attention to verse 7 of the scripture. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Let's focus on some of those gifts that are intangible. You can't purchase them, but you can give them away. If you're a Christian, then you do have some gifts that you can give others. And these gifts are gifts that they need. And the reason you have these gifts is because they were given to you first. And the cool thing about these gifts is that even after you give them away, you still have them. It's like a recipe. You can give a recipe away, but you still have it. Strictly speaking, the gifts I'm going to talk about are not the kind of Christmas gifts that you wrap and put under the tree. There are four gifts that are worth regifting. These are all gifts that we all have received at some point. First, we can regift forgiveness. God has gifted us with forgiveness, and this is a gift that we can regift. Matthew 18 tells the parable of the unforgiving servant. In verse 27, the servant had received forgiveness. However, when it was his time to show forgiveness to one who owed him, even after that person pleads for mercy, the servant who had been forgiven already did not re-gift forgiveness. God has given us the gift of forgiveness. Others need that gift from us, and we can give it to them. In the process, we can change their lives. In my work at the hospital, I often encounter patients that struggle with forgiveness. Perhaps someone's carelessness has caused them harm. They may say to me, "I will never be able to forgive this." I can invite them to a place of giving forgiveness when the recipient is not worthy of it. As we well know, forgiveness is not solely for the benefit of the recipient, but as much for the one extending it. It's the place of forgiveness where we find deep and abiding peace. Who is it that needs the gift of forgiveness from us? We can regift encouragement by being a Barnabas. Everyone needs a Barnabas. We all need someone to come along beside us and give us encouragement from time to time. We don't need someone to come up to us and give us a litany of everything that is wrong with us. We need people to build us up and encourage us. In fact, the name Barnabas is equated with a people helper and encourager. We see the outstanding characteristics of Barnabas in Acts 9. The year was 1947, and the general manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers, Brant Schrike, signed up a young man for the team at $600 a month and a bonus of $3,500. The young man was Jackie Robinson. He had experienced his share of rejection when he set out to break the color barrier in the all-white domain of Major League Baseball. Several team members petitioned against Robinson's joining the team. As Jackie ran the bases, often opposing players tried to spike him. He even received death threats. In spite of opposition, Jackie Robinson won Rookie of the Year and led the Dodgers to the 1947 World Series. Jackie Robinson became the first black athlete introduced into the Cooperstown Hall of Fame. Branch Rickett was a Barnabas to Jackie Robinson. Barnabas was an encourager. Barnabas believed Saul's story. He was convinced that Saul's story was true, Acts 9:27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how he in Damascus had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Another part of what I do at Tampa General is assisting the doctors or the residents in delivering horrifically sad news to families. Often after the meeting has finished, I compliment the doctor on how kindly and humanely they conversed with the family. Oftentimes they look at me and look surprised that I had complimented their care. This may seem like an insignificant example, but it shows how we can re-gift the gift of encouragement. Hyde Park United Methodist gave me that gift several years ago. In fact, perhaps I would not have discovered my calling to the chaplaincy. It was people like Vicki Walker, Bernie Leaving, John DeMoy, and Clyde Boyer, and so many more who became Barnabas to me. These wonderful people encouraged me and still are. Encouragement was the gift they gave me. We can re-gift kindness by adopting a kind attitude, speaking kind words, and doing kind actions. At the funeral service for John McCain in September of 2018, cameras caught a moment of kindness that went viral when George W. Bush passed a cough drop to Michelle Obama. The touching moment was recreated at the funeral for George H.W. Bush in November of 2018. The power of a simple act of kindness can hardly be overestimated. Let's consider the ways that we can re-gift kindness, the kindness of God. Adopt a kind attitude. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Most of us will admit that if we are to become truly kind people, we need to experience a change of attitude. That starts with the bedrock conviction that through Christ, God has expressed His kindness to us. God has treated us with kindness. Speaking kind words. Proverbs 16:24 tells us, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul, and healthy for the body. Your tongue is a very powerful tool, and it has the power of life and death. I always remember when someone helps me with their words. It might not seem like a big deal to them, but I always cherish a good word. Saying kind words to people cheers them up when they're having a bad day, and they're so easy to gift. They bring healing to the soul. When correcting others, no one likes when someone is cruel with their words, but everyone can appreciate and will listen to gracious words. Use your speech to encourage and uplift others. In your Christian walk of faith, keep kindness in your speech, because it is indeed very valuable. Kind words provide many benefits, not only to the recipient, but also for the person who is saying them. Doing kind actions. If you have kindness in your heart, you offer acts of kindness to touch the hearts of others wherever you go. Whether they are random or planned, kindness becomes a way of life. Oscar Wilde says it this way: the smallest act of kindness is worth more than the grandest intention. Again, to sing the praises of my church family, I came down with COVID at the beginning of the pandemic. During this time of isolation, I enjoyed delicious chicken soup and even a cupcake left at my door. I even had someone from our church do shopping for me. Words fail to adequately describe the thankfulness, joy, and encouragement that my heart felt. These regifters and their acts of kindness embodied God's love. finally, we can regift presence. Christmas is about the gift of Jesus' presence to us. We can regift the gift of presence to others. This presence can be physical, humble, and vulnerable. Emmanuel. Emmanuel is the Hebrew word meaning God with us. It appears in the Old Testament book of Isaiah and in the Gospel of Matthew. It is applied to Jesus as a title. What was it about the birth of Jesus? It was about Emmanuel, God with us. God coming from heaven to be physically present. Verses 14 through 18 of John are astounding in their clear statement of Jesus' full divinity while in the flesh. While Matthew 1 and Luke 2 give a narrative view of the incarnation, John gives a theological view, spelling out the implication of Jesus coming as a man. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. John has already identified this word, logos, with God in verses 1 and 2, with creation in verse 3, and with light and life in verses 4 and 5. Now John tells us in verse 14 that this word, the very expression of God, became flesh and made His dwelling among us. For Jews, with their belief in the one invisible God, such a statement would be deemed blasphemous. But for the Greeks, with their sharp dualism between flesh, evil, and spirit, good, the idea that a holy God, a spirit, could come flesh would not make sense. But that is what John says with jolting clarity. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Being a presence for those who need it is the Emmanuel of the Christian life, and it's a gift we can regift because we have received that gift. Who needs the gift of presence today? By what example do we give this? I came to this church years ago, a man with a burden to serve God. I had ministered to thousands preaching and singing. I had seen many people come to Christ by ministry that God had given me. Yet I had gotten to the point that I felt so unworthy to serve God. Then one day I was allowed to sing in church. I was approached and asked if I had ever considered chaplaincy. The next thing I knew, I was enrolled in seminary, thanks to the kindness of this church. Currently, I'm a full-time staff chaplain at Tampa General Hospital while finishing my seminary degree. All I can say is praise God, from whom all blessings flow. As we approach the beginning of the new year, may we purpose in our hearts to regift forgiveness, encouragement, kindness, and presence. God bless you in the new year. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Creator and loving God, may the words we have heard speak to our hearts and motivate us to regift those things most precious that we have received from Your hand. May our lives lived in love and regifting bring us closer to You. In the name of Jesus, we ask all this. Amen.